It is to have Gretchen and Kenny with us this morning. This is Alan's brother on the guitar. I met Kenny and the other brother at the same time with Alan, and I feel like I would like to spend a week with the three brothers. They are a trip. I'm going to leave it at that. Yeah, Alan and I have a lot to talk about, he says. Hearing you two play so great for me brings out my spirit, brings out my Chicago genes. I was fortunate to grow up in a hometown of the blues, and one of the best blues bars in Chicago truly is Kingston Mines, which is owned by Doc Pellegrino, who is from my home church, Third Unitarian. I remember the first time I got into Kingston Mines. I won't go into how that happened. But Dion Payton and the 43rd Street Blues Band were playing that night, and they were hot. I did not know much about blues then, but Payton plays some of my favorite kind of blues, the kind now I call finger-licking blues. This is a smoking hot guitar blues where the lead guitarist can send himself and the entire audience into orbit with his licks. In my opinion, Stevie Ray Vaughan was the king of this kind of blues until his tragic death. Yeah. That's it. I have my favorite kind of blues. There are many variety of blues, however. There are Mid-South, Tidewater, Piedmont, Chicago, Detroit, New York, Los Angeles and St. Louis blues. There are country blues, urban blues, rhythm and blues, and gospel blues. Everyone knows there are sad blues, but there are also happy blues as well. Those tunes involve singing happily about getting past the sadness in our lives into the more peaceful times. In order to get any kind of an understanding of the blues, a person must look at many aspects of cultural history in Africa and the States. It really touches on many fascinating points of history in the U.S. and a number of countries in Africa. In an analysis of early roots, scholar Imanu Baraka writes that the African slave in the field gave shouts and hollers that were strident laments more than anything. They were also chronicles of such a mean kind of existence that the slaves themselves could not assume the universality that any lasting musical form would need. You can trace the spread of the hollers and the music during and after Reconstruction by following African-American communities into rural farms and eventually into urban areas. The rich musical expression and the development in those decades ranged beyond a concern with labor to a concern with the most personal expressions of life's travails. Robert Palmer wrote about slavery and the development of the blues afterwards. The singer was so involved that in many cases his involvement became both the subject and the substance of the work. Such unflinching subjectivity may seem callous and self-involved, but in the context of its time and place, it was positively heroic. As we begin March, courage is the spiritual theme of the month. And I'm telling you, it took massive courage to sing about the hardships around and within the artists' lives. I mean, just start with another way to put your life on the line, that you could lose your life for singing this if they found out the wrong person was writing the wrong song as a troublemaker. If we really try to come to understand the blues, we see not only that the slaves experienced the blues, not only blacks who have suffered endless racism in this country experienced the blues. The experiences at the core of the blues are universal to all people. Individuals feel sadness and loneliness in different forms, different lengths of time, different depths, but we all get the blues. Communities can get the blues too. Kafka said that a book must be an axe for the frozen sea inside of us. Hemingway and Virginia Woolf both wrote with great insight about the blues. In 1901, Pablo Picasso's work took a dramatic turn, beginning with several paintings that commemorated the recent suicide of a friend. The artist's themes grew dark and solemn. His use of blue became somewhat common in symbolist painting in Spain and France, where it was associated with representations of melancholy and despair. Now, we're at a time of the year right here, beginning of March, little cabin fever grind of the end of winter, cold, damp. How many people are feeling a little down at the end of the winter, longing for some sunshine and some fresh air? Our third Unitarian Universalist principle is the acceptance of one another and the encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. And here at the Unitarian Society of Germantown, one of our core values is that we relish life in an urban community where everyone is welcome as they are and encouraged to stay and discover their best selves and unique calling in the human family. As human beings, we all go through periods of the blues. To identify, accept, and express the blues takes courage, and it can be a key part of spiritual growth, discovering your best self, discovering your unique calling in the human family. So my main point is I hope we can all continue to practice and in some ways enjoy singing the blues together when we have to. There are many gray areas, and it can be dangerous to make dichotomies that are false, but I think it's helpful to break up the blues into two main camps. The first kind of blues I want to look at are very serious kind of blues known in psychology as depression. Many ask, how can you know the difference between depression and sadness? In the book Questions and Answers About Depression and Its Treatment, Dr. Yvonne Goldberg answers, a depression is a persistent period of an excessively low, sad, blue mood that is severe enough to interfere with major life activities such as work or school, family responsibilities, interpersonal relationships. Depression often leads to changes in self-esteem, concentration and sleep and appetite. While feelings of sadness usually do not cause these symptoms, at least for long periods of time. Washington Post writer Henry Allen gives a more personal description. When you're depressed, he says, you live in a world where the view looks like you just took a wrong turn in Elizabeth, New Jersey in February. You feel like you're either hungover, you're coming down on something. Somewhere in your viscera, there's a feeling like a fire in a tire dump that nothing can put out. You are loathsome. You are life, unworthy of life. You hurt. In one of his tunes, Louis Armstrong sang, I got the blues so bad one time, it put my face in a permanent frown. Now, Armstrong, I think, from what I know, had a lot of reasons, including he had chemical predispositions toward depression. He also suffered a lot of racism. The play Satchmo was down at the Wilma, which is amazing, showing what he went through. He used to sit alone in his dressing room, bellowing with pain at the world. And unfortunately, Armstrong suffered at a time when people in the field of medicine knew next to nothing about how to treat and identify depression. Fortunately for those of us, we're living here where there have been many breakthroughs, including for people with problems beyond depression. Many folks at times now find that at some point it's helpful to sit down and talk about real life issues with a trained counselor. When dealing with symptoms of depression, many times a counselor can help people sort out serious life issues, get a better perspective on what might be going on, get over the hump. Depression can be a response to a death of a loved one or a divorce. It can come from a midlife crisis or a separation from a friend when they move away or you move away. And sometimes depression cannot be linked to any specific event at all. Depression can come from chemical imbalances. But many of these situations can be helped by medication taken under the guidance of a qualified physician. Now, this is a controversial topic in society right now. The Center for Disease Control says that in the last 20 years, the number of people on antidepressants has increased by 400%. Tens of millions of people are on antidepressants, starting with 12-year-olds. So there is concern that too many physicians are writing prescriptions quickly. I don't have professional expertise in that, but I think we should all pay attention and work together, obviously. And we have to be clear, it's not a magic bullet cure to get on medication. Not everybody who takes medication is helped. Some have bad side effects, overall negative experiences. But it's also true, and I think the church has to say this, the minister has to say it, many people are helped with medication, and many people need to do it in relationship with regular counseling sessions or adjustments in exercise or sleep habits. These can be combinations that help people to sing the blues in a less painful way. As a society, I think we've come a long way in terms of how we think about and treat people with depression and other psychiatric problems. There's less acceptance today for locking people away out of sight and mind. We're getting better at not blaming the victim. And so I just think as a liberal religious community, we need to keep that progress happening and to lessen the taboos and the stigma so that people can deal with the realities of their lives in caring ways. I'm grateful a number of folks are coming out of the closet sharing publicly about their personal bouts with depression. I think that for folks who've had it for a while, been dealing with it, have some control over it, public discussions with personal testimonies can help society break through prejudices and help better. Alma Powell has said publicly she suffers with depression. She has 3 children and moved 22 times during her husband's incredible military career. As a young mother in the 60s, she cradled her new baby while in the midst of the explosive civil rights cauldron of Birmingham, Alabama, while Colin, the soldier, her husband, was halfway around the world fighting the Viet Cong. Yet, Mrs. Powell says she thinks none of that made her depressed. She believes hers is hereditary and chemical imbalance. But she is out in the public working. She is a supporter of the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. I appreciate people doing those kind of testimonies for many reasons. One is personal. I myself have seen periods in life which were extremely difficult. I did not know if they were going to come out. I felt buried in pain like an avalanche. I didn't know if the rescued crew was going to get in and help me, especially during college and right after I suffered from clinical depression. For 2 periods of time, I needed to be on antidepressant drugs. I got support from a lot of folks, including the church and doctors, other members of my family and our church and other churches, and our families have depression. And I think we just have to be grateful whenever people make an effort to move it forward. We need to keep learning to sing the blues better as a country. So Obamacare starts implementation in 2014. As of today, still remains almost 49 million Americans without health insurance. And so what I'm saying is let's try to keep paying attention to legislation at state and federal level around mental health issues, because millions of people without health insurance certainly translates into many cases where obtaining proper medicine or counseling is difficult or impossible. The other kind of blues I call the everyday blues. These blues do not include clinical depression, which often merits medical support. These blues include feelings of sadness and loneliness. I do not call them the everyday blues because all people have them every day of their lives. They're everyday blues because every day it's possible that we will encounter some kind of sadness or loneliness. These are common and universal feelings and emotions. In many ways, we're still socialized to have unrealistic expectations that we should be happy all the time. Society sends subtle messages that if we don't feel good 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, something's probably wrong with us. We get messages that say, if you're down, you just have to adjust your attitude, buck up, put it out of your mind, just move on. These are not always healthy pieces of advice. Many boys are still socialized from an early age to think that real men don't cry. Crying is still seen as a sign of weakness by some. And in the last couple decades or more, with more women moving into the working world or what was called the men's world, women and our girls are feeling pressure not to show these kinds of emotions. But fortunately, more and more of us are coming to agree that this socialization serves to impede people from healthy and needed exploration and expression of emotions. And we know sometimes it is really helpful to have a good cry. And so, I mean, especially guys, you know, guys, it's good. Be happy when you can let out a cry, you know. Maybe we need to help each other more, learn how to cry. I need help sometimes. Sometimes I say, I just feel like crying, but I can't do it. And it stays bottled up. Because of the painful emptiness we feel with the blues, it's often tempting to find as fast a way out as possible. But if we try to bypass the blues altogether, we're denying an essential part of our humanity. Thomas More wrote a great book called Care of the Soul. In it, More points out, if we constantly trick ourselves into thinking we can be chipper, bouncy, carefree all the time, we're cheating ourselves of spiritual growth opportunities. More points out that entering into moods and thoughts of the blues can be deeply satisfying. Melancholy gives the soul an opportunity to express a side of its nature that is as valid as any other. The void and grayness evoke an awareness and articulation of thoughts otherwise hidden behind the screen of lighter moods. By singing the blues, we can get closer to ourselves, to each other, and to our God. Many African slaves appropriated the church music given to them by their white owners. In many cases, they overtly and covertly changed it to express their travails in ways that made their lives more bearable. We aim to accept ourselves and each other to grow spiritually. With the everyday blues, and even in some cases of depression, perhaps we can broaden our vision and see that feelings of sadness or loneliness, the loss of familiar understandings of life, are elements that can be appropriated and used to give a fresh imagination to all the colors of our lives. If we can do this, we can keep learning and enjoying singing the blues. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Please join now in singing from the Gray Hymnal 210, Wade in the Water.